call the Mesa City Council meeting of Monday, January 8th, 2007 to order. We will start out with an invocation by Brant Baker from the First Presbyterian Church, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance. And we have no Boy Scouts, so I will lead the Pledge of Allegiance this evening. So would you please stand and remain standing for the pledge?
Let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly ask wisdom and strength of character to these who assemble here this night as they deal with issues of governance, those that are complex and challenging, as well as those that are monotonous and mundane. We give thanks for the opportunity to participate in your work of building community, and we give thanks for those in leadership. We ask that you would bless the skills of these elected officials, the abilities of our tireless civic employees, the gifts of our citizenry, as we all go about the task set before us. And so, Lord, upbuild our city and her people. May it be a wholesome and nurturing place to live and work and play. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item is the mayor's welcome, and we have this on a video broadcast, so it'll explain how we conduct our meetings.
Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting. Thank you for your interest and participation in the City of Mesa. At this time, please turn off or select the vibrate option on all cell phones or pagers while the meeting is in progress. If you would like to speak on any items, please fill out one of the blue cards located in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. You also may ask for an item to be removed from the consent agenda. Items on the consent agenda are read into the record and voted on in one motion. On zoning cases, comments from citizens are made after the applicant presents their case, and we ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. At the end of tonight's meeting, under items from citizens present, there is an opportunity for 3 citizens to speak on any issue with a maximum of 3 minutes each. When the mayor calls your name, please step up to the podium, state your name, and address and make your comments. The timer on the wall to the right of the city council will keep track of your time. The City of Mesa operates under a council district system with the mayor elected at large. The mayor of Mesa is Keno Hawker, serving his second term. There are 6 districts in Mesa, and here are your elected council members. In District 1, Vice Mayor Claudia Walters represents Northwest Mesa. In District 2, Mike Whalen represents Central and South Central Mesa. In District 3, Tom Rawls represents Southwest Mesa. In District 4, Kyle Jones represents downtown Mesa and the area south of downtown. In District 5, Rex Griswold represents Northeast Mesa. And in District 6, Scott Summers represents Southeast Mesa. Information about your council members in the City of Mesa is available online at www.cityofmesa.org. All City Council meetings are broadcast live and then rebroadcast on Mesa Channel 11. To view the programming schedule, log on to MesaChannel11.com.
I would like to excuse Councilmember Griswold. He's celebrating a wedding anniversary, so I think that's a legitimate excuse. After 33 years, we wish them well. And I am going to take the prerogative of switching the agenda if you're following here, and I'd like to go ahead and do the presentation of the Exceptional Customer Service Award first, and then we'll do the Mayor's State of the City address.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and City Council, it's my pleasure to present to you today our award winner for the what we refer to now as the Exceptional Exceptional Customer Service Award. We have many great employees that work for the City of Mesa, and we wanted to find a way to recognize those who really have gone above and beyond their specific responsibilities. As such, we received over 13 nominations of different employees and groups of employees who have provided exceptional service over the last period of time. And they were very difficult to try to pick one that would be exceptional. But tonight, we'd like to invite Karen Wolf, if she'd come forward at this time, and present to her. And maybe we could ask the chief to come forward, and he could help me making this presentation. Let me tell you about this Customer Service Award. We're making the presentation that Chief has and to Karen, the Exceptional Customer Service Award. For Karen's works, has been working for the city for over 11 years. She works in the Police Records Administration for the Police Department. And what really is happening here, and we appreciate Mr. Krieger being here, is that sometime, not too long ago, Ms. Wolf received a call from Larry's son, actually, who he didn't know. Well, apparently there had been some past issues where for 30 years they didn't know that they thought that both of them had passed away, the father and the son. And through a call that Karen received, she was able to do some checking and on her own and had the ability to go and check some records and kind of went beyond what was expected and was able to reunite Mike Higley, Larry's son, Larry Krieger, here and reunite them again after, I guess it was 30 years?
37
years. That they did not know that either one of them existed. They thought that there had been told that they had died in auto accidents. So through Karen's diligence in providing her exceptional service, she was able to find a way to reunite this father and son. So we want to congratulate Karen on this, and we're glad that we could serve Larry and his son. We've given her this award here. And with this, you may recognize this council, this lovely shirt, if I might say. We're also going to share that with the council has received theirs already. They're exceptional, too. So we receive that shirt as well as this check and say congratulations and appreciate your work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I see you have very good taste in color there, too, with that blue shirt. Right. Okay. The next item is the Mayor's State of the City address. I want to welcome you to the meeting this evening. This is kind of a long-standing tradition that the first meeting in January, the Mayor would do a State of the City address. So I'd like to go ahead and continue that tradition here this evening. I'd like to start out by saying that after 10 years as a council member and almost 7 years now as mayor, this is the finest council I've had the opportunity to serve with. Mesa has six very principled and intelligent district representatives who are truly committed to this community. Let's start out, and I'd like to go through kind of the list of who you have as your representatives. Vice Mayor Claudia Walters represents District 1. She has been an outstanding advocate for neighborhood revitalization and zoning restrictions for payday loan establishments. Claudia also hasn't been afraid to take a hard look at the public service costs associated with the halfway houses and private prisons that are operating within our community. She chairs the Transportation Coordination Committee for the Maricopa Association of Governments and was instrumental in the passage of last year's sales tax increase, which will make Mesa able to get its Prop 400 transportation funding. On the state level, Claudia serves on both the executive and resolutions committees for the League of Arizona Cities and Towns. And on a national level, she serves as the vice chairman of the National League of Cities, Community and Economic Development Steering Committees. District 2, Councilmember Mike Whalen brings 28 years of law enforcement experience to the Mesa City Council. His insight has helped the city better coordinate resources and prepare for emergencies. On the national level, Mike has served on the National League of Cities Homeland Security Working Group. District 3, Councilmember Tom Rowles has proven to be a reasoned, principled, and consistent advocate for limited government. Even when he disagrees with the rest of the council on an issue, He is willing and able to help us get to the heart of the matter and to make the solution even better. I admire Tom for his straightforward analysis of city policies and procedures, and I value his legal expertise and insight. District 4 Councilmember Kyle Jones has been an outspoken advocate for neighborhood revitalization. Kyle has worked with Councilmember Mike Whalen to address the day labor concerns and also was instrumental in instituting a loud party ordinance to keep Mesa neighborhoods peaceful. On a national level, Kyle serves on the National League of Cities Immigration Task Force, which continues to work tirelessly to get Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. District 5 Councilmember Rex Griswold, as I mentioned earlier, couldn't be here this evening. He is celebrating his 33rd wedding anniversary. But over the past year, Rex has seen numerous and record annexations for County Islands and Northeast Mesa. Despite the growth, he remains committed to retaining the unique desert landscape of the area while increasing accessibility to it through connecting the existing recreational trails. Rex also has maintained his commitment to rapid response of citizen concerns and to improve Mesa's policies and procedures to make them more business friendly. District 6 and newcomer Scott Summers has gotten up to speed quickly this year. He brings with him more than 10 years of experience as a Phoenix fire engineer and paramedic, and is both a graduate of ASU Polytechnic and a current doctoral candidate. Scott knows the value of the Williams campus and is dedicated to protecting Williams Gateway Regional Job Center. And I also think it's probably safe to say that his wife Janelle is probably looking forward to Councilmember Summers finishing up his doctorate degree in May of this year. Together, this council has covered a lot of ground in 2006, and we haven't shied away from controversial issues. Over the past year, we've had our share of split votes. This council voted 5-2 against cross-training Mesa police officers to have immigration enforcement powers. I was on the losing side of that vote. We also voted 4-3 against placing zoning restrictions on payday loan establishments. Although I was on the winning side of that vote, I'd still like to see some usury laws enacted by the legislature to curtail predatory lending practices. While I was out of town attending a conference earlier this year, the council voted 4-2 to allow country stores to operate in RV parks. And although I was in town for the vote on whether or not to allow large retail signs along Mesa freeways, I wasn't able to successfully convince the council that they should not be allowed. So this one passed 5-2. Now, instead of having 12-foot sign height limitations next to freeways, Mesa has no limitation. Each sign is considered on a case-by-case basis, and signs as tall as 90 feet have already been approved. Over the past year, this council has also placed purchasing restrictions on ingredients used to make meth, examined fire inspection fees, the cost of speed humps, where to put Mesa's future court building, which neighborhoods to designate as opportunity zones, and how to increase pollution control measures to better meet EPA air quality standards. Although we obviously don't always agree, we like the debate, appreciate each other's opinions, and respect the final decisions made by this council. But despite the hundreds of issues, policies, and procedures we examined over the past year, it was the decisions made by the Mesa voters that were the most important. After seeing the council spend millions in emergency repairs for water and sewer lines, voters authorized the sale of water, wastewater, electric, and gas system revenue bonds. Thank you. This important funding, paid back using utility revenues, will help us expand service capacity and upgrade our aging infrastructure. Mesa voters also approved a sales tax increase last year that will keep us competitive while still giving Mesa the 30% local match required to access Mesa's share of $15.8 billion in voter-approved transportation funding. And when Mesa voters rejected the property tax last May, This council heard that message and cut spending as we promised. We eliminated more than $1 million in arts grants and subsidies, cut $2.5 million by reducing museum and library hours, saved $245,000 by turning special events like the MLK celebration, Veterans Day Parade, and Cinco de Mayo over to private sponsors. We also cut $1 million from public transit, eliminated holiday lighting downtown, saving $50,000, cut $161,000 from the parks and basin landscape maintenance program, and removed school resource officers from Mesa middle schools at a savings of $470,000. Altogether, Mesa made almost $14 million in cuts since the beginning of last year. Yet, despite this downsizing, as the largest city in the nation, without a property tax, Mesa still faces significant financial concerns. Although the bond and sales tax measures approved by the voters will make critical utility and transportation improvements possible, these measures do not give the city a stable revenue source that the Financing the Future Committee was looking for. Right now, when there's a downturn in the economy, Mesa residents can curb their spending, cancel their newspaper subscriptions, or also discontinue their cable service. But the city must continue to provide essential services even though there is a market change. We won't cut back basic services like fire and police because sales tax revenues came in lower than projected. So not only is Mesa particularly vulnerable to market fluctuations, but the city must also maintain a substantial rainy day fund in case we do have a downturn. Although we have struggled to make ends meet, this council has remained steadfast in its commitment to put public safety first. But in the process, I need to tell you, almost every other service in the city has been scaled back and in many cases has been eliminated. Last year, at the same time when I was giving a State of the City's address, I talked about Mesa being at a crossroads and residents having to choose which way to turn. I asked Mesa residents if they wanted to fund the programs outlined in the land use, economic development, transportation, and parks and recreation master plans that our citizens created and the voters approved. The answer was clear. By voting against a property tax, Mesa voters said no. This leaves us with a unique challenge. Many residents have suggested that we discontinue city funding using profits from our utilities. But these same residents have chosen not to approve an alternative stable funding source that will continue providing essential city services like police, fire, trash pickup, and code compliance. As you may know, for many years it has been my goal to turn Mesa from a bedroom into a boardroom community, creating high-quality jobs for our residents and our children. However, although the vast majority of employers do not generate sales tax for the city, and no employers pay a city property tax, they all must receive city services. But aside from state shared revenue and utility profits, if the only way to finance our city is to become a retail sales mecca, then should I keep pushing for job creation? Or should we focus on luring more and more retailers so we can continue funding basic city services for our residents? In addition to the concerns that I've just mentioned about our own financial structure, I'm also concerned about possible changes that could happen to Mesa that are out of our control from outside sources, such as the potential loss or reduction of state shared revenue, future requirements to comply with more unfunded mandates as the federal government shifts costs to keep pace with the needs of the aging baby boomers, state legislatures looking to require cities to provide the fire services to county islands, and the ever-increasing burden that rapid development is placing on Arizona's water supply and transportation infrastructure. This is a statewide issue that will affect Mesa as rural areas of the state look to Maricopa County for water supplies and infrastructure funding. Additionally, this year I'll look to work with mayors in the surrounding communities to resolve a significant structural and governmental conflict with the Central Arizona Water Groundwater Replenishment District. And as you may have heard me say before, I also think it's time to take a closer look at an adequate public facilities ordinance that would require developers throughout the state to ensure that they not only have enough water, but they also have an adequate transportation system. Finally, I'm concerned about the end effect that the sale of the development of the 275 square miles of state trust land immediately to Mesa's East will have on our future infrastructure at Williams Gateway Airport. It's commonly known as Superstition Vistas. In light of the voters' rejection of Proposition 106, which would have improved handling of state trust lands, and even given Mesa's desire to protect the airport and given Mesa's desire to protect the airport and its users, perhaps it's time for Mesa to consider annexing part of this huge parcel. This would help Mesa not only maximize the potential of the $300 million voter-approved Williams Gateway Freeway, but would also put us in a better position to protect airspace around the airport. We've made some great progress at Williams Gateway Airport in 2006. Recently, the council unanimously approved a major plan amendment that happened only last month that will bring essential high-quality offices and business parks to the job center. But more importantly than that, it will successfully secure the airport's arrival corridor. Homes will not be allowed south of the future Williams Gateway Freeway, which will serve as a buffer between land uses as well as a corridor for Boeing's flight test operations. Now that the arrival corridor is secured, we must look to protect the airport's departure corridor. That will mean working closely with DMB, who recently bought the top part of the General Motors parcel, and coordinating with them to protect the departure routes through that overflight area. In addition to passenger flights, unique considerations must also be given in that area to helicopters and cargo flight operations, both testing and training. This is especially important in light of the recent Boeing announcement that it secured $1.15 billion in contracts to build an additional 126 Apache helicopters. Other advances at the Williams Gateway Regional Airport Job Center last year included securing $20.4 million in state transportation acceleration needs funding to purchase right-of-way for the future Williams Gateway Freeway. Additionally, Phoenix signed on to become the Airport Authority's board's fifth member. Embraer, one of the world's largest corporate jet manufacturers, has followed Cessna's lead to choose Gateway for its new service center, and regular passenger service was launched to both Las Vegas, Nevada, and Gary, Indiana. And Gary, Indiana is located only 20 minutes outside of Chicago. Service to Bellingham, Washington is slated to begin next week. Okay, here's the story. One-way tickets to Las Vegas, $59. Tickets to Gary, Indiana, $79. Tickets to Bellingham, Washington start at just $59 each way, and parking is free. Yes, that is kind of a commercial. But to get information about it, I think we're going to flip it up here on the screen, too. You can visit the Williams Gateway website at www.flywga.org or call the number there, 480-988-7600. I highly recommend the flights. It's a lot less cumbersome than going through Sky Harbor. So let's make Williams Gateway successful. Okay, despite these strides, there is still much work ahead if we are going to realize Gateway's full potential. We must continue luring passenger service and aggressively laying the transportation improvements and other physical infrastructure critical to job expansion. And all of this must be done simultaneously while we work to improve Mesa's major plan amendment process to allow Council to to provide input on proposals before they go to planning and zoning. That must sound familiar to a few council members. Clearly, the synergy we have created at Williams Gateway is gaining momentum. ASU Polytechnic continues to launch cutting-edge training programs to meet employers' needs, and the creation of a sub-area transportation for Williams Gateway Airport is underway. Combined with the Williams Gateway Freeway and other transportation improvements approved by the voters in Proposition 400, the Williams Gateway Airport and Regional Job Center will undoubtedly become the East Valley residents, will undoubtedly provide East Valley residents with additional travel convenience, high-quality jobs, a unique educational opportunities, and this will be for generations to come. Finally, 2006 was a year of renewal for the City of Mesa. We hired Chris Brady as our new city manager and George Gascon as our new chief of police. Both these men have a deep commitment to customer service and are working to implement improved performance standards. This year, the City Council has looked forward to streamlining city policies and procedures, setting benchmarks for efficiency, and removing unnecessary bureaucracy. We'll implement the voter-approved city auditor function and overhaul the city's finance committee. We'll have quarterly retreat-type dialogues to share ideas, hash out details, and make sure we're on the right track. We'll look to add two new zoning categories. The designations would be one for vertical zoning and another one that would protect future transportation right-of-way. We'll continue to discuss which services the city should be providing and which services are better provided by nonprofit organizations or private business. And we'll continue to work to identify and maintain a sustainable level of service. Now Mesa is a city of 460,000 residents. We have many challenges ahead, and I invite you to work with us to do the best to make our community an even better place to live, learn, work, and play. Thank you for your attention. Vice Mayor.
You know, you got to say a lot of nice things about all of us, and I think we'd all like to say some nice things about you. You make it possible for us to go and work on things that are important to us. You allow us to have conversations and dialogue, and you encourage the debate and the disagreement agreeably, and it makes it fun to do this job. So I just want to thank you for allowing all of us to have fun at what we're doing. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, what would be the next item up? I think it's going to be reading the consent agenda. All right. While you're coming up, I do want to point out that this is a tie that my mother bought me for Christmas or for birthday, so I want to make sure, Mom, I am wearing it. I fulfill that New Year's resolution. So, go ahead.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
You need to pull the mic a little closer, or they need to turn it up just now. Oh, you got a cold. Oh, sorry.
All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There'll be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes for previous meetings as written. Item 4A, take action on liquor license application for Arizona Craft Brewers Guild for a one-day charitable event. Item 4B, take action on liquor license application for Praise Fellowship, a one-day religious event. Item 4C, take action on liquor license application for Organization Maya Guatemalteca for a one-day event. Item 4D, take action on liquor license application for Knights of Columbus for a one-day fraternal event. Item 4E, take action on person-to-person and location transfer for SWIFTs, 2655 West Guadalupe Road, number 17. Item 4F, take action on new beer and wine store license for Target, 1525 South Power Road. Item 4G, take action on new restaurant license for Bonefish Grill, 6538 East Superstition Springs Boulevard. Item 4H, take action on new restaurant license for Down Yonder Way, 6915 East University Drive. Item 4I, take action on new restaurant license for Swiss Restaurants Bar and Lounge, 2655 West Guadalupe Road, number 17. Item 5A, take action on contract for 11 automated side-loading refuse trucks, $2,643,077.05. Item 5B, take action on three-year supply contract for asphalt materials, $619,499 annually. Item 5C, take action on three-year supply contract for rock and concrete materials, $2,089,375.34. Item 4D, take action on contract for two hybrid gas electric sedans, $48,624.72. Item 6A, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, amend Mesa City Code pertaining to traffic modifications. Item 6B, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A06-23, annexing land on Sossaman Road north of McDowell. Item 6C, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A06-25, annexing land on McKelps Road west of Prisman Road. Item 6D, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z06-94, 7800 East Pecos Road for industrial office warehouses. Item 6E, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z06-95, 1200 South Prisman Road for two commercial buildings. Item 6F, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z06-96, 3550 East McDowell Road for office condominiums. Item 6H, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z06-99, 200 North Power Road for a car wash. Item 7A, take action on resolution to implement fees for the fire department inspection program. Item 7B, take action on resolution to transfer ownership of 924 North Country Club Drive to the Mark Center of Mesa. Item 7C, take action on resolution for operation of street lighting facilities outside Mesa City limits, $1,181.76 annually. Item 7D, take action on resolution for reimbursement of $17,350.25 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 7E, take action on resolution for reimbursement of $36,422 for street lights and relocation of traffic signal. Item 7F, take action on resolution to participate in the statewide terrorism liaison officer program. Item 7G, take action on resolution to receive $225,360 in grant funds from the Arizona Department of Homeland Security. Item 7H, take action on resolution to extinguish a temporary ingress egress easement at 10211 East University Drive. Item 7I, take action on resolution to grant a power distribution easement to SRP at 10144 East Elliott Road. Item 7G, take action on resolution to vacate right of way along East Inverness Drive west of 48th Street. Item 7K, take action on resolution to approve the electrical integrated resource plan. Item 8A, take action on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code pertaining to Mesa Fire Department inspection program fees. Item 8B, take action on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code pertaining to vehicle impound administrative fees. Item 9A, take action to accept the city's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2006. Item 10A, take action on subdivision plat, Child Crisis Center, 805 North Country Club Drive. Item 10B, take action on subdivision plat, Greenfield Court, Lot 7, Condos, 1129 South Oakland. Item 10C, take action on subdivision plat, Santan Commerce Condominium, 6859 East Rembrandt Avenue. Mayor and council members, these were items on the consent agenda, and I'm glad it was short.
Yeah, one more time. Do we have any requests to remove any of the items?
No, Mayor, the record stands as read.
Okay, then I'll entertain a motion. Let's see, my screen is not up for some reason. I have a motion by Kyle, seconded by Vice Mayor for approval. Would you please vote? Okay, thank you. Okay, so all the consent items do pass. We have no request to remove any items. So let's go on to item 3A, which is to conduct a public hearing to release petitions for signatures for the following proposed annexations. This is annexation A06-29, annexing land located on University Drive west of Power Road. This is 7.9 plus or minus acres, initiated by Bill Duff, representing the property owner. And this is the time for the public hearing. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Was there anyone that came this evening to address the council during this public hearing? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. And we'll go over to page 5. And the item is 5E. This is a park and ride number 1 at Power Road at US 60, City of Mesa project. And because it has some asphalt construction potential on it, I'm going to declare a potential conflict because I have a financial interest in an asphalt construction company. And I'll turn it over to the Vice Mayor to run this item.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I'll also be declaring a conflict. The Nesbitt family are customers of my security business. Therefore, I will not vote or discuss this issue.
Thank you. This project will construct a new park and ride facility on the north side of the US 60 between Power Road and Superstition Springs Boulevard. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder, Nesbitt Contracting, for a total award of $3,867,294.42. Funding for this project is available from Federal Transit Administration grant funds, quality of life sales tax funds, and highway user revenue funds. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
All right. Is there any council discussion? Councilmember Rawls.
Question for the city attorney. With all the conflicts that have been declared, as I calculate this, it requires 4 votes. There's only 4 of us left.
It would require 4 votes for an affirmative vote, yes.
Given the facts that Rex is out of town, I think it's probably appropriate if someone would like to amend their motion to continue this. It would might be a very helpful thing.
Okay. Is there a problem with Can we continue this, Ms. Binner?
If the motion is changed by the council member who voted on the motion, they can.
All right, I'm going to request Council Member Summers, would you be willing to amend your motion to continue this to a date certain to the January 22nd council meeting?
I would like to amend this motion to continue.
Is the seconder okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, and we have the motion by Council Member Summers. Amended motion to continue this item to the 22nd of January meeting. Am I getting the correct date there?
January 22nd is the next council meeting, Vice Mayor. My only question, and I don't know if there's staff, is there an administrative problem in delaying this?
Okay. So we have a motion to continue it, and the seconder has agreed to that. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rawls. I appreciate that. Any other further conversation here? Councilmember Whalen.
Yes, Vice Chair.
You have
Chair.
A conflict on this one.
I do, but I just want to put on the record that I'm going to research my conflict on this issue. I think it may be so remote that by the time we come back on the 22nd, I will have a firmer declaration of whether I do have a conflict or not.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that. And you know, just I just want to make a comment here, and we've done this before when things like this have come up. It's one of the things I really appreciate about this council. Mr. Rawls could kill this by just voting no on it, and instead he recognizes that Councilmember Griswold would have a different approach to it, and so he's allowing for the everybody who could vote on it to vote on it. And so I just want to thank him for that. That's really it's statesmanlike. Thank you. Anything else here, Councilmember Rawls?
Vice Mayor, I just apologize for not catching it earlier. I didn't realize, for some reason, I checked out and I realized that Mike as well was going to declare a conflict. So apologize for not letting everybody know earlier. But given the substance, you probably should have figured it out. Even though I didn't.
I missed it too. I missed it too. All right. All right. So we have a motion for continuance on this. Any further discussion? Then would you please vote? All right, the motion carries with 4 ayes, and the mayor and council member Whalen abstaining because of a potential conflict, and council member Griswold absent. Mayor, we are on page 9, item 6G.
All right. Okay. Page 9, 6G is a zoning case, Z0698. It's located at the Loop 202 Red Mountain Freeway and Dobson Road. This is an area that I have consistently declared conflicts because I have a residence at that location. And so I'll continue with that policy because I'm within 300 foot of some of the land, and not this particular amount, but they were kind of commingled in some of the incentives that were offered. So I will declare a potential conflict and refrain from discussion and voting.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rawls?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I, too, have a conflict that I have consistently declared on this matter. We still have land, or my employer still has land that is actually within 300 feet of this project. At least I think it is. It's real close. I haven't measured the width of the freeway yet, but it's close enough to both because of the presence of the land and the continuity of the development agreements and the incentive packages, and I'll continue to declare a conflict.
Thank you. This is the 900 to 1100 blocks of North Dobson Road West Side, located at the southwest corner of the Loop 202 Red Mountain Freeway and Dobson Road, 32.4 acres, rezoning from C3 to C3 PAD and site plan review. This request will allow the development of 3 auto dealers and an auto body shop. This is a part of the Riverview development. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Council Member Whalen and a second by Council Member Jones. Is there any council discussion? All right. Would you please vote? The vote carries with 4 ayes, the Mayor and Council Member Rawls abstaining because of potential conflict, and Council Member Griswold absent. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Next item is on page 12, items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
No speakers, Mayor.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.